Good evening. What a treat to see you, Marie.
Thank you.
You look wonderful.
Thank you.
And we have a new face here tonight. And how did you hear about us, Yvonne?
On the internet. I did a Google search and I found it on Yelp.
You live in San Jose.
Sunnyvale.
Yeah. And Dawn, you're back.
Yeah.
Yay. You are missed when you're gone. Yeah. Well, let's do introductions around.
I'm Ellie. Britt.
Katrina.
Daniel.
Dawn.
Marie.
Ivan.
Wendy.
So we are studying Chogyam Trungpa's Training the Mind and Cultivating Loving Kindness, and have reached the second section, this is very mysterious, strange counter words. You think, no, it can't be right. That it must be something else that he means, but it is what he means. When the world is filled with evil, transfer all mishaps into the path of Buddha Bodhi. How do we do that? Why would we even imagine doing such a thing? That's number 11. It's the first one of the... I'm leaping ahead of myself, aren't I? So you all went home last week with this sending, and also with this first thing about transforming mishaps into the path, isn't that so? Yeah. So, meaning, how do you find what he calls joy in your own richness? How do you face the peculiar and often painful things that happen and consider it part of practice? In the terms of this teaching, whatever appears, and especially difficulties, are our teacher and is the teaching itself. That turns it around. That turns the whole thing around. So instead of trying to get away from whatever's happening, we acknowledge it with gratitude. Thank you very much for coming. My difficult old aunt, for instance, or my cheeky teenager, or my... person on the highway who just cut in front of me. It happens all the time. Bam, bam, you get a little hit. And the first thing you think is get away, or feels bad. But it can be a wonderful practice to say thank you to what happens, to express gratitude. And feel it. For the guy who cuts in front, you can say, be my guest. You don't know who he is or why. Maybe really good reasons for it. And in any case, it's you yourself, in your own inhabited body and mind, that is experiencing what you experience. And it's up to you how you take it, how you face it. And that's what this is about. Practicing resourcefulness and richness or generosity is the way to become, he says Mahayanists and Vajrayanists, but it's the way to become yourself. Generosity and gratitude are the road to compassion and wisdom. And experience what we experience in terms of generosity and gratitude is how we begin this practice. And then the one that comes after it is drive all blames into one. And when I first read this many years ago, I was shocked. I thought, no way, you don't drive all blames into this person. I didn't do anything. I'm pretty perfect. And if I'm not perfect, at least nobody will know. But that's not what this is about. This is about being in our own mind and body and accepting what comes, taking it in, and what the heck? Might as well make it this person's responsibility. It often solves a problem that can't be solved any other way. I first realized this when one of my kids was probably a late teenager and was extremely difficult. And I just struggled with it, trying to figure out how I could fix this situation between us, how I could make him better in some way. And it wasn't until many months of this struggle that somebody said to me, "What are you getting out of this?" And I said, "What, me? It's not about me, it's about him, right?" And she said, "Well, isn't there something else going on? Don't you have a side to this?" And of course, bam, and it hit me, of course, it's my thing as much as his thing. It's this thing that we do together. That is always the case. We're never alone in what we do. We're never alone in what we experience. We're always as two, just within this mysterious one of us. So that's what this is about. It says, drive all blames into one means that all the problems and the complications that exist around our practice, realization, and understanding are not somebody else's fault. All the blame always starts with ourselves. So whatever else the conditions are, we can always start with ourselves. And let it teach us. Let we ourselves and our own activity, our own view, our own reaction to what's happening. Make it ours. And then take in the other. It's how it works, that self-other. And that's what this whole thing is about. Compassion is about both. He says we could blame a lot of different things, the government, the weather, the food, the highways, our cars, our clothes. But it is who we are not letting go. It is we who are not letting go and not developing enough warmth and sympathy, which makes us problematic. So we cannot blame anybody. In fact, we don't blame. At least that's one of the precepts. No praising self and blaming others. And vice versa, I would say. That's also a tendency and a temptation, is to blame ourselves. That too is useless. So I wonder what your experience was this week about the patience that's needed for transforming mishaps on the path, creating out of our troubles practice, and practicing with, especially with patience and with generosity, the first two paramitas. Well, let's go on.
Situation that I kind of let it be crystallized into a negative, rather than staying open to it being one way or the other.
Mm.
And I got upset with myself because I thought, I'm being such a jerk and so ungenerous and unkind. But then it sort of bugged me for a couple of days, and I kind of sat with it and. Reading the material too helped kind of remind me that this is what I have. This is what I have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
This difficulty. It's not a big serious one, but it's enough to sort of bum me out.
Yeah.
And then, so I was able to approach this person that I had kind of had an inner kerfuffle about, and it just sort of transformed into something else.
Mm-hmm.
It truly did. It just became, it was almost like it blossomed out of all this muck that I was creating, basically.
Yeah.
And then it became kind of a nice thing, a good thing. So I know things don't always have a happy ending, but it made me a little more cognizant of how this is what we have. We have what we have, and even the problems we create for ourselves are sort of the stuff that we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt really kind of good to see that a little more. And I think your talks and his writing is kind of putting up a little light on that.
Mm. Yeah, we don't like to think that, but once you begin to see it, it makes things a lot easier.
There's a lot of yucky stuff. Yeah. Every day, you know, there's some little thing that can kind of become a big thing if I let it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's how our mind works, how we are as human beings. And as we go on, then the practice becomes actually attending to how our thinking is happening and taking responsibilities, not for the thoughts, because we can't really control the thinking, but we can control how we do with what passes through our mind. And once we understand that it's a process, that we are a process in that way, that it gives us skill in being with others and being with ourselves that we don't usually have. We claim our thoughts as our own and try to build them up in certain ways to build ourselves up. But the truth is, we mess up. And it's very, very helpful to accept that. The mucky part.
Wait for me. It actually reminds me of my mother. I think this was sort of a Christian thing that my folks used to say was, you can't keep the birds from what is it? You can't keep the birds from landing in the tree, but you can keep them from roosting there.
Oh.
Something like that. So that was. Mm-hmm. In a way, what you're saying is to kind of take responsibility. What you are saying is take responsibility for what we do with thoughts.
Yes.
That come.
Yes. Practice is all about action, acting and enacting. That's why they call it a path and a journey in a way, because it's not anything static at all. It's always moving. We're flowing and everything else is flowing too. So as much as we are aware of what we are doing, enacting, the more space there is, the more width and breadth and in the end, wisdom and compassion. Yeah. Brett?
This reminded me, I feel like the way I practiced this was I'm never grateful for I will never be the person who says, I'm glad I became paralyzed from the waist down, because otherwise I wouldn't have had this meaningful experience. It'll never be me. But,
you might be surprised.
I mean, I try to come to acceptance and dwelling on how I things, but I don't think I ever feel gratitude. But part of this made me think about a big sesshin that you now went out. And at sesshin, I feel like I hear a lot of, when we're doing roles, like the parts that make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
People say to one another, when things are bad, something needs to be, in my mind, something needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
This is the practice. And I feel a lot like it's used to pressure people into accepting things that really need fixing. But I know a part of that is me, what I'm bringing. Or to
yeah.
How does one sort of sort out, like, no, or how do you sort of like, is that the AA little prayer, like accept the things, or change things you can.
That's right.
And accept what you
sure.
Can. But like, how does? I don't know. I think since I've practiced this at all, where should I? I don't know. How does one sort that out?
Well, be aware of it, for number one. Just notice how you are met and how you meet what comes to you in your life and what works. And if things aren't working very well, you can question it and study it. And understand that it's coming out of your life, so that it's your thing, whatever uncomfortable thing it is. So it's hard to understand and to believe if you haven't had anything really terrible happen to you. But when I talk to people who have lost someone very close to them, or someone who has had cancer a couple of times, almost invariably there is some sort of gratitude for whatever has happened, and some sort of marveling up that it could be like this, that there's so much to learn in what appears like a disaster. And there's a joy in it, and a deep it's hard to describe, but it's the truth of it, is that there's nothing to regret. There are a lot of things to fix, but if you hit something that you can't fix, or you have something that you could fix in several different ways, then you've got the choice.
So would you say then you're meeting difficulties with gratitude doesn't mean that you have to not try to fix things?
No, it doesn't. Heavens no. We'd be in a mess if we didn't try to fix things. Yeah. But it's when we're trying too hard, or doing it in a misunderstanding way. You know, projecting on somebody else. Oh, it's that guy's fault. You know, and really and in the case of real disasters, it's often nobody's fault. No, it's if you come down with a terrible disease, that's it. And then you have a choice. And how you take that, how you understand it, is really up to you. And our tendency is to say, oh, why me? This is a terrible thing. And who's doing this to me? Or all of that. But watching Steve, my old friend Steve in San Francisco Zen Center, and how he died, and just with deep acceptance and even gratitude, it was so beautiful, and it made it easier for everybody else who were losing him. So nobody ended up beating themselves and saying, oh, this is the worst thing in the world, or we've got to fix this. It's just, this is what's happening. And of course it's very sad, but it's also big. It's life. So the next suggestion is, based on this, to not just drive all blames into one, but understand that when you meet someone or something, that you're meeting kindness. How is it said? Be grateful to everyone. Contemplate the kindness of everyone. So it's another version of this to practice with problems, especially problem people, and see the positive side of what you're meeting. And try to understand how we're made, how we actually operate as body-mind. We have, how many does he say? 46 ways that we can fail. I haven't looked them up, but that's pretty interesting. Six ways in which a bodhisattva fails. 34 contradictions to embodying virtue. 34 contradictions to embodying virtue. But the basis of it is that the essence of our life is kindness itself. That's why Dalai Lama is always saying to people, be kind. Not because you should be, but because you are. And he is reminding us, that's where we live. We live from our kindness. And our foolishness and our badness are extra that we pile onto us from outside. But the reality is the kindness. And so this slogan is about actually accepting that everyone is kind, even though we can be tripped up by anyone at any time. And that we ourselves are kind. He says, our hassles are a workable journey toward enlightenment. And he says, to take things lightly, not be so serious about everything that happens, not try to make everything come out exactly right, because it never does. Or if it does, it lasts for about 2 minutes. So this is another way to find some space in life, some breathing space, to take it lightly. So he says the main obstacle, our main obstacle in our practice is not having enough sympathy for others or for ourselves. I think we all know that. So that's homework. Find the sympathy. Watch your thoughts. Watch them coming and going. That's the next one, the next two. See where they come from. And see where they go. What is this thing that thinks? Is this me? Is this you? Check it out. and read these two chapters, these two, 13 and 14. Yeah, 13 and 14. Thoughts pop up from nowhere, he says. They're unborn. So that's enough. There are questions? Is there anything logistical that we should know? We're getting ready for Sesshin. But I think that part's going quite well. So, yeah. Well, let's have our 1 minute sit.